Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Champ and Luke Cutforth.
Hello, I'm Nobody.
Hello, I'm Champ and Luke.
I was both of us last week, and James was Nobody, so I'm Nobody this week. Welcome to the show.
This week we'll be talking about Lucy and her involvement in the world's first bicycle trip.
Wow. What? Hang on. What? What?
Who is Lucy?
Who is Lucy? Well, okay, can you guess who she
Scarlett Johansson in that film one time.
No. Oh. So she flies. She, you could say she's a pilot of sorts.
Okay. No, not Amelia Earhart.
I was about to say that as well.
No, because her name is Lucy.
No, yeah, sure.
Lucy Earhart.
She enjoys jewellery, particularly the sparkly kind.
Oh.
She's often known to fly with her jewellery.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Ah, Beatles reference. Very good.
That's right, we're talking about LSD today.
Oh, okay. By the way, you know that that song is not about LSD, apparently.
So, John says that it's not about LSD, but then Paul's come back and
disclaimer.
Said, it's absolutely 100% about
it's
LSD.
The it was on the radio the other day. No, maybe it was on someone was playing it in the house, and it's like, it's literally just LSD, LSD, like the whole way through. It's just an advert.
I can tell you almost certainly wasn't played on the radio if it was BBC.
Yes,
because
it wasn't.
They banned it.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, and they've also banned other Beatles songs because of the references to the drug apparently.
Drugs. That's incredible.
So I'm going to be talking about the invention of LSD. Albert Hofmann, a Swiss chemist, made a world-changing discovery in 1938. He invented LSD. However, while he initially made the substance in 1938, he didn't actually uncover its properties as a psychedelic until 5 years later.
What?
Mm-hmm. Wow, he's a bit slow.
What was he trying to do?
So, I'll tell you that later.
Okay.
But he basically
ride
left
a bike.
He left it sitting in a cupboard for 5 years.
Wow.
Before he did anything with it.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Corey, your eyes look really big today.
Really?
Have you done any research into this topic?
Interesting, guys, that you should say that.
Not if it's been sat in a cupboard for 5 years.
If you look at your glasses, your glasses of water,
yeah,
that's not just water in there.
No, because it's orange juice. That's
yeah,
why.
I've dropped a tab of acid in each of your
Fanta.
Drinks.
Well, you've dropped acid in our drinks? Wow, illegal podcast. We're going to get banned by Apple. Wow, that was the biggest slurp.
So I'm going to start off with what psychedelics are.
Uh-huh.
What
are they?
Do either of you guys know the definition of what a psychedelic is?
It's a drug.
That's right.
That affects your perception of the world? I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah. So it comes from the Greek. The Greek words meaning soul and to manifest. So essentially what it does is manifest your soul.
Wow.
Supposedly.
That's
so cool.
So they trigger psychedelic experiences, which is just an altered state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not thinking like you normally would. And it's not like alcohol or any other drug where it heightens or lowers your experiences. It gives you a completely different experience to normal waking life.
Completely changed.
Exactly. So how it works is it uses serotonin, essentially.
Love a bit of
that.
So,
wish I could
more?
Have some. So, do you know what serotonin is?
Yes, it's the thing that people think makes you happy.
Right, that's right.
Like, people content. Think make you happy.
Content. Exactly. Well, there is interesting new medical...
I did hear about some of this recently.
There's some, I was told by a psychologist I know who was saying that the new research suggests that potentially serotonin is actually released when you are
happy,
as opposed to it being the reason you're happy. If that's true, then we've been useless at any kind of medical research or psychology for a very long time.
I mean, the brain is really difficult to understand, which makes sense.
Sure. Mm. Like, imagine if we thought that stomach acid was what made you hungry. It's the fact that you're hungry that makes you release stomach acid to digest stuff.
Yes.
Or, like, stomach acid made you eat things.
We have thought things like this throughout human
That's
history.
Ridiculous.
Like, ridiculous like going even where we get the wrong end of the stick.
Going even simpler, it's just crying makes you sad instead of you cry when you're sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's a lot, yeah.
Like wet face equals sadness.
Oh no, my eyes are leaking again, I'm
it's
sad
It's almost
suddenly.
Like thinking that the earth revolves, no. It's almost like it's almost like thinking that the sun revolves around the earth.
The earth revolves around the sun, like which it doesn't, because the earth's flat, Corey. God!
Flat things can still revolve, Luke.
Yeah, and interestingly, the earth could be flat in fourth-dimensional space, but round in three-dimensional space. So we're both right. Wow.
So serotonin is a neurotransmitter, and it's generally associated with feeling happy or content. But it's not exactly that simple. What it does is control a lot of things like cognition, reward, learning, and memory. Basically, your body has serotonin receptors, which take in and bind to the serotonin and then give the effects of it. What psychedelics tend to do is attach to those serotonin receptors and give you an effect. in this case, the psychedelic effect.
I don't understand how that works in the slightest. Like, how can something that just binds to a receptor that says I'm happy then change your entire perception of the world? I don't understand that.
Because the receptor doesn't just say I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's really complicated, but usually when things bind to other things, they change shape, which then causes kind of like a chain reaction or something being released. So that would be the case there.
Right.
That it would change its shape, maybe slightly differently to what serotonin normally does, or there's so much of it that it has a completely different effect because it releases so much of another compound.
Okay.
But basically what you're getting into is really, really complex, like, physiology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, biochemical physiology, and it's just...
I wouldn't know
how to explain it all to you guys. Do you guys know any psychedelic drugs? Any of the major ones?
LSD.
Well, mushrooms.
Mushrooms?
Yep. But only some
LSD.
Kinds.
Only some?
Only some kinds of mushrooms.
Not,
yep.
Not all mushrooms.
Not that portobello.
That would be a hassle, wouldn't it? <it's>, get a pizza.
Oh no, my
tripping.
Risotto is made me high again.
It's mushrooms with psilocybin.
And then DMT is what Joe Rogan's always on about. And
that's the whole meme about Joe Rogan, isn't he? Just keeps bringing up DMT.
That's everything he does. Like, what do you think DMT means, though?
You could have literally anybody. You could have Theresa May. He's like, so Theresa, what do you think of DMT?
Oh my god! So that's like the mother of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, yeah, I don't know.
And other than that, people say that LSD is one of the most potent ones.
Really? Oh, well, okay.
Purely based on, mostly based on the amount that you need.
The weight.
Yeah, the mass. Mm-hmm. Which I'll get into later. But you've also got mescaline and marijuana. Actually,
mescaline is what. Aldous Huxley wrote a book on mescaline called The Doors of Perception, where he just ate a bunch of like magic cactuses or something.
Yeah.
And then just wrote a book about everything he saw.
Well, he's going to come up in this, actually.
I've not read it,
He was one of the pioneers of studying LSD in terms of medicine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what you used to make ayahuasca as well?
No, that's... ayahuasca is made of two different trees, or a root in a tree, but it's DMT, I think, inside it.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm.
But
I know you can make it from a cactus, that's why I was wondering.
Oh, can you? Wow.
Not that I've been researching.
I find that all of these things kind of come from plants generally. Yeah. Plants and fungi.
Well, everything comes from eventually.
Yes, Luke, everything comes from...
other than floor. Like, floor doesn't floor. Come from plants. Floor. Plants come from floor. Yeah, they do. Plants come from floor.
Where does floor come from?
Sun.
Floor... No.
Yeah.
Mineral. From star.
Oh, shit, yes, star. We had this debate. Floor comes from
where,
star.
Science podcast, where does floor come
where
from?
Where does floor come from? Floor come from star.
Actually, next week's episode, guys. How did you know?
Episode 8. Where does floor come from?
So, back to psychedelics. They generally differ from other drugs, like I said, because they don't heighten or diminish a normal state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's kind of related to, like, dreaming. Usually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who did a BBC show about this. He went on a show called... Well, he ran a show called Getting High for God. He's called Mawan. And he went out around the world taking loads of drugs for God, supposedly. Like, spiritual drugs. And he had ayahuasca. He got paid to.
Amazing.
So it was a paid experience. It was spiritual. And he took a load of drugs.
Yeah.
This guy is living the life.
I know.
Right? He won.
He's a comedian now. And he's just brilliant.
So they actually are used in a lot of religious experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the main uses after recreational.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's medical use. So,
and after that, it's just for banter.
That's recreational.
No, banter's its own category, Corey.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Party.
So researchers at the University of Sussex and Imperial College London measured the activity of neurons in people's brains as the drug started to have effect.
Mm.
And it had the opposite effect from what they thought. So usually dreaming will make your... brain more predictable, your brain pattern more predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these kind of drugs, LSD in particular,
mm-hmm.
made it less predictable.
Mad.
Which the scientists have kind of thought of as you achieving a higher or different state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It's absolutely mental to me that there's just this little thing in a plant.
Yeah.
That's
interesting to me that they're saying, like, scientists are going, you're experiencing a higher state of consciousness. Mm. Because that sounds to me like non-scientific metaphysical talk.
Yeah.
Saying that there are higher states of consciousness, because that suggests that the one that you're in right now
is not the highest.
Well, it's not necessarily higher. They've called it that to be a bit unsciency.
Right.
It's unpredictable or a different state of consciousness.
That's not as fun though.
It's not as fun, is it? No.
Scientists will suck all the fun out of everything.
So I've got a quote here from them, and they said, "What we find is that under each of these psychedelic compounds, this specific measure of global consciousness goes up. So it moves in the other direction from sleep and anesthetic."
So that means that, like, the whole brain's lit up? You said global consciousness.
Yeah, so across the entire brain...
there's just stuff going on.
There's stuff going on, and we don't know. Because we don't understand the brain as much as...
No.
You'd hope that we do.
Yeah, I find this whole thing very frustrating when people think science understands the brain and consciousness, and it literally doesn't.
Oh, when people say that, like, we only use 10% of our brains.
Or yeah, that's ridiculous. That was made up by a self-help book.
The thing is, when we're trying to understand brains, it's your brain trying to understand.
Whoa!
I feel like I just came out.
Echo.
I'm in the void.
Whoa!
Are you in the void?
Yes.
Welcome to the void.
We're all taking LSD.
Wow! Okay, that was weird. Oh, are we back?
Are we back?
I don't know, are we?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Good.
Cool.
So that's the drug starting to take hold.
Yeah. Wow. God.
I wonder if the echo records. That would be
really... No, really. You can just leave that in if you like. Wow, that really felt like brain zap.
So if you're confused, we just had a technical glitch and we were just echoing it out because we wear headphones all about.
And because of all the drugs.
We're echoing. And of course, the LSD that Corey gave us.
Yeah. That's actually how the Beatles first had LSD. Two of the Beatles. So it was George and John.
Right.
They were having dinner with a dentist and he slipped it into the sugar.
What?
he gave them a cup of coffee.
It's like Bandersnatch where he gives you the cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Awful.
How's Bandersnatch going?
So when you're trying to understand a brain,
yeah,
that's the brain trying to understand itself. And it frustrates me to no end.
Well, science would have you say that they're doing it objectively and removing themselves from it because they're using machines to do it.
But the concept is that the concept is that your brain is sitting there in your skull.
Yes.
Thinking.
Trying to think about itself.
How do I work?
The brain is the only thing that named itself.
That's so true.
Wow.
Well, not necessarily. Someone could have been born without a name and then named themselves. Sorry to just ruin your fun.
True.
But
you say that. Noah and Phoenix also named themselves.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Every trans person ever named themselves.
That's true.
Haha, you lose. Sorry. James.
So back to psychedelics.
Yeah, sure.
Again.
If you insist.
Well, yes, I do. They're also non-addictive physiologically, which is not like a lot of other drugs, which basically just means that your body doesn't develop a dependence on them physically.
Right. Yes. Never. Never for anyone.
Generally. So right. With the ones that we're talking about, LSD, there's no addiction. Marijuana, no addiction.
Oh, I know some people who are addicted to marijuana, though. Like, not addicted physiologically, but they're addicted.
So you can be addicted to it mentally. Just like you can be addicted to anything.
And you can be addicted to anything mentally.
Exactly.
Okay.
With this, obviously, you can increase your tolerance with each dose. So
what you're saying is good crack. Not good crack, sorry. Not good crack. It's good LSD, but...
Good crack.
It's all good, is what you're saying. You're a drug pusher now, Corey.
I'm not a drug pusher.
Yes, you
because
are.
What I'm going to say is...
By the way, kids, you can't get addicted to
with
psychedelics.
With each successive dose, your tolerance goes up. So the more you take, the more you need to take.
I was going to ask you this. Aren't they like anti-addictive in a way? Because if you take psychedelics like directly after, it doesn't work as well, or like... I don't know. I don't know fully. Well,
that's true to a certain extent, I think, but, yeah.
Yeah. So because it's kind of already...
You can't hit it every day, I think is what you mean. Like you can smoke weed every day.
Yeah.
You can drink alcohol every day, but if you did it the next day, it wouldn't really work.
Because it lasts in your body.
Right.
So long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long lasting experience. I mean, it takes about an hour to have effect and then
it
can be up to 12 hours after that.
Wow.
Wow.
I have a friend who was telling me that she had, like some kind of drug that lasted like 12 hours. And I was like, that's not real. Surely you're making that
12
up.
12 hours.
So long, you know?
That's disgusting.
You'd get bored by the end.
So yeah, they're generally really addictive. No, they're not addictive. No.
Anyway, screw all that. They're addictive.
They're very difficult to overdose. This does sound like I'm pushing drugs, but I swear I'm not. They're generally very difficult to overdose on.
Yeah.
But
this video is sponsored by drugs.
There is a story that where did I read this? I can't remember. It's about the only thing that's ever died from a psychedelic is an elephant. Have you researched this?
I have heard of the elephant. I didn't know it was the only thing that died.
You're saying like you can't die from it, but there is one case where they just, I think they just injected an elephant.
I was going to say, didn't they give it a lot though?
So much LSD, so much. It died. Which is horrible because it's an elephant as well. So it's like that's a lot of LSD.
Why not use a mouse?
Oh yeah, elephant-related death. Sorry, LSD-related death of elephant an elephant.
Elephant-related death.
Yeah, in 1962, an elephant died after LSD was injected with a huge dose of 297 micrograms in one buttock with a dart rifle. 5 minutes later, the elephant collapsed and went into convulsions. Oh, that's horrible.
Mm. So 250 micrograms is...
I imagine a lot.
250 millionths of a gram.
That's not a lot.
Not a lot. No, it's very... Not at all. For LSD, it can... Actually, thinking about that, that's not that much at all.
Hang on. Milligrams, sorry.
Oh, boy.
Milligrams.
Wow, that's... Yeah.
That's a game changer.
That would kill you.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. There we are. I understand now. But that's the only... Like, no one's ever died from it. Only that elephant. Is that right?
Yeah, that's... And that's over... That's over 100 times. That's three orders of magnitude more than the first recorded use of LSD.
That elephant was not having a good time.
Yeah, so, as I said, they're not... necessarily, you can't overdose necessarily on a high dose, but a high dose can make you a danger to yourself and others.
Yeah,
because you have no idea what's going on. It can essentially, it can essentially induce psychosis,
like Bandersnatch.
Yes.
Wow.
Stop spoiling Bandersnatch.
Sorry.
It's been out for months.
Yeah, get a grip. Come on.
Massive doses. They're not lethal, but they do generally require supportive care, which means that if you take a huge dose, you will probably have to go to hospital, but you won't die from it.
So, that's good news.
Yeah, there was this one story that I read about someone that thought they were snorting cocaine.
Right.
And instead snorted LSD. So they had a lot.
How does that work?
Isn't LSD like a liquid?
I have no idea.
It's on a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. So basically it's a liquid.
Are they snorting paper?
Well, I guess the liquid, you could evaporate the liquid and it would be left with a crystal, I guess.
Or maybe they didn't snort it. Maybe they didn't.
Snorted a liquid.
I'd assume they'd have snorted
it. And they just
maybe
drowned.
They could have put it in a drink or something. But effectively, the person thought they were having cocaine.
Right.
Turned out there was LSD involved somehow.
Yes.
And they took a massive dose.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's not very clever.
But they were ultimately fine.
That's not very clever.
It's not.
Guess it's not.
So, what is LSD? Do you guys know? Do you know what it stands for?
LSD.
Oh, yes, but I forgot. It's very long words.
They're not long words at all.
Are they not?
No. Lysergic acid diethylamide.
Those are long words.
They sound like long words.
Okay. basically what it is it's lysergic acid, which comes from a fungus.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a derivative of that. So diethylamide is just a group that's added on.
Diethylamide. You're a diethylamide.
You take that back.
No.
Oh.
So it's a hallucinogen, as we've covered. Makes you see and hear things that aren't really there.
How do you know?
Or are they?
Maybe they are really there.
And it's just switching.
Maybe LSD allows you to see things that aren't there.
Hear
things that aren't there.
I was thinking the other day, right? Imagine if you went crazy. And
I don't think you have to imagine, Luke.
Sure, I've got.
Right, so last Wednesday.
Well, imagine if you went crazy and at the end of the bed, every night, you saw a little fairy that would tell you what was going to happen the next day. And every day that actually happened. Then that would be real. In every sense that matters to you, that would be real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But science would always tell you it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Like, imagine if, like, or just... But,
do you have a little fairy at the end of your
life? No, I don't have a little fairy.
Are you trying to tell us something?
But, like, imagine, like, people believe God tells them what to do with their lives. And if they do what their God tells them to do and their life gets better, then their God is real.
Yeah, that does bother me that people that are religious are allowed to be crazy. No,
only by your standard of what's crazy.
In the sense that they can say something, they can give no evidence for something. And say that it absolutely does exist. They have faith that it exists and live their life by it. But if you were to do that for something that wasn't the general, you know, the general idea of God.
Like a fairy at the end of your bed.
Like a fairy at the end of your bed. People would call you crazy.
Well, only if you acted crazy. If you didn't, you don't have to tell anyone.
You mean like genital mutilation and not eating certain types of food.
Sure, that's religion, that's not spirituality. They're different things.
But my point being that religion gives you a whole pass on doing silly things.
Yes, yes. Yes, it does. And that's the problem. Anyway, carry on.
So it's colourless, odourless, and clear, which means you can slip it into anything, like a drink.
That's not good.
It's not good.
What if I drank water and it turned out it was...
You wouldn't know.
Did it not taste of anything?
No.
But it's acid. As in acid that
Have
burns.
You tasted acid? No. I don't know what acid tastes like.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's micrograms.
Right.
To have an effect.
Wow.
Literal micrograms. You could drop a few micrograms in a glass of water.
Wow.
And that'll hit you like a train.
Hit you like a train.
Exactly, yeah. So the physical effects of it are generally dilated pupils, increased blood pressure, and increased body temperature. There are so many widespread symptoms. I say symptoms. Effects of it.
Yeah, aren't big eyes like symptoms a symptom of every drug? Acid.
Exactly, yeah. So
and also of being in darkness.
Yes. No. Yes.
Sure.
A symptom of being in darkness.
Yes.
Big eyes. But that's the thing. There are so many different effects it can have that there's no one singular thing. Like, you know, when people have like cocaine or alcohol, you know what they're going to be like.
Yes.
Whereas with this,
yeah.
You could just not have most of the things and just see something.
Right.
Or hear things. It can have
right.
like a whole range of effects.
And does it depend on person to person, or is it you could have different things at different...
Generally person to person?
Yeah, so this same person could have two different experiences.
From what I've been reading, there's this whole thing called, I think, setting. Yeah, that's it.
That's what they always taught us in school. If you're going to do drugs, set and setting, but don't do drugs.
They taught you that in school?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, because, I mean, there were so many kids doing drugs in school that they were like, well, we've got to sort of teach them a little bit, but also don't do drugs.
So set and setting. So basically where you are and what you're doing can have a massive effect on it, whether it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, researching this, I felt like the biggest nerd.
You are the biggest nerd.
No, genuinely, because I'm like, I wonder what this drug does.
Right. And there's all... We were told a story at school about a guy who took loads of LSD and peeled his skin off because he thought it was an orange. Is that true? Is that a thing that would happen?
I didn't research. I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Or not. It's a thing that could happen. Like, I mean,
just sat there in his history. Does taking LSD make you feel like an orange and peel your skin off? I prepared for this podcast.
I feel like maybe that man had an underlying belief that he was already an orange.
Probably. That's the thing, though. When you search these things, and I'm not saying you should do it, but when you search these things, there's two types of websites you get.
Yeah.
There's the anti-drugs and the pro-drugs.
So there's Mumsnet and Reddit.
Yeah.
And then there's the medical one, which always leans, like, anti-drugs.
It's the centrist.
I tell a lie. There's three. There's the anti-drugs, pro-drugs, and there's the science ones.
Yeah.
And the science ones align with the pro-drugs too much, because the anti ones just say, remember, you could die from this. Studies have shown... that you can die.
Conclusion, you can die.
Conclusion, everyone died.
Except for the fact that no one's ever died except for an elephant. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
And the thing is, you shouldn't do it, but there are more reasons to other than you might die, because you won't.
That's a terrible sentence.
I swear we're not promoting drugs in this podcast.
Don't do drugs, kids.
So remember, you won't die if you actually do.
Oh, God. Right, this is awful.
This is going down.
This is so bad. I don't know if this is legal. Like, so I'm currently making a documentary about smoking, and I've sent off my first draft, and they've sent me back a load of responses being like, you can't say this because you're not allowed to legally promote smoking in the UK. So anything where you're slightly positive about smoking, you have to say, you have to cut it. And is there anything about that with drugs?
No, to be fair...
I don't think there is. Because that's advertising regulation, and we don't have advertising for drugs at all.
To be safe, again, what I'm saying is you could check my references. Everything I'm saying, I've researched, and it's referenced in the show description. I'm not saying you should do drugs, because you shouldn't.
These are other people's words.
It can ruin your life, but scientifically, there are
top class banter, isn't it?
scientifically
it's not
gonna kill you.
I believe that was Stephen Hawking said that. It's top class banter.
That sounds like Moss.
Yeah, that was right, more Moss than Stephen crowd. Hawking.
Hello, Jen. Want to take some LSD?
I'm just gonna skip past the rest of the effects. I think we've basically covered the story. So I'm going
to
talk about its history and medicine.
Oh, there's a story in this one. Oh my God.
Yeah, there is
a story. It was in the intro, the bicycle story.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Bloody hell.
The LSD, mate.
I thought we were just talking about it. Yeah, it's that bloody Fanta.
So LSD was introduced as a commercial medication under the trade name Delicid for various psychiatric uses in 1947.
What?
Supposedly. So this wasn't well referenced, but it seems to check out that
it was just sold.
No. They were in. So this was in psychiatric uses. So it was clinical settings.
Yeah, yeah, but it was sold. Not like people could buy it if they were...
Doctors could buy it to use on patients.
That's mad.
Yeah, they wouldn't give it out to you and say, hey,
top class banner, isn't it? Stephen Hawking.
So generally what it was originally used for was inducing psychosis.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wonderful.
It was used,
here we go.
It was used as a model for psychosis.
Right.
So obviously if you're studying mental illness, you can't just get the crazies in every other day and study them. You want to have them in the lab. So all you need
you
to
wanna
do...
have the crazies in the lab.
just have your lab tech pop a tab.
Right.
And then you've got a model for psychosis.
Right. Okay, interesting.
Which is actually really...
Does it stand up? Is that actually what people with psychosis are?
I mean...
They're just tripping.
Not necessarily.
I don't think that's something I should say, but that's what it seems to be inferred by what you're saying.
That's what they used it for.
Right.
It's not exactly the same, but it's... In a sense, it's acute psychosis because you can have...
Acute psychosis. Adorable.
As opposed to chronic. I'm not saying psychosis is cute.
Okay.
Yeah, so
acute psychosis.
So that's because it's got the same symptoms.
Yes.
As
yes.
Being psychotic. So one of the leading authorities of the use of LSD in medicine in the 50s was Sidney Cohen, and he first took the drug himself because they were all taking it themselves. By the way, I don't know if I've mentioned
this.
All the people that were using it for studies were taking it home and sharing it with their mates.
Christ.
What?
Yeah, genuinely. Like,
that's mad.
So Cohen first took it on October 12th in 1955, and he was fully expecting to have an unpleasant trip. But he was surprised when, in his own words, he experienced no confused, disorientated delirium. So he immediately began experimenting with it. With the help of Aldous Huxley, who he met in 1955.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so basically these guys that were all studying it were big into using it themselves.
Of course they were.
I read a great story the other day. It was like a joke story, you know, like The Onion, that kind of thing. I can't remember which website it was. But it said, Shrek reveals he was high on LSD when he wrote Hallelujah. I just loved that so much.
Brilliant. So these guys did a lot of tests that were probably not super ethical, but they were all on humans, so it's generally fine.
I was going to ask that, did they do it on animals, but you've already answered. So.
Yeah, so...
Oh yeah, I remember as a kid I saw loads of videos of cats on LSD.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Freaking out.
Got something about that later. It's great. Bear in mind, this is not a dead animals episode, because these animals weren't harmed.
Well, the elephant was dead.
Well, you brought the
you brought that up. So.
Well, you didn't research it properly. The one thing that ever died from LSD, Corey, I think that's a bit important.
I don't want to mention dead animals.
Like. Don't you? Don't you, Corey? You seem to like it before.
You've already expressed that you don't appreciate it.
Okay.
Very much.
Thank you for your consideration. I just happen to know about the dead animals.
Every single time I don't bring up dead animals, you decide to bring them up yourself.
That's true.
Some animals died here and you're leaving it out.
With the help of Betty Eisner, who was a psychologist, they began experimenting on whether or not LSD could be helpful in psychotherapy. So curing alcoholism and enhancing creativity as well.
I know a fact here. The 13th step of the 12-step alcohol, you know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, is 12 steps. It's a 12-step thing. There was once a 13th step, which was take loads of LSD.
What? Really?
Genuinely.
Is that true?
Yes, genuinely. I read that, I think, in Russell Brand's book, one of Russell Brand's books. 13th step alcohol. Yeah, here we go. 13th step of Alcoholic Anonymous. Here you go. The Guardian has a headline saying, LSD could help alcoholics stop drinking. The AA, a founder, believed LSD could cure alcoholics and credited the drug with helping his own recovery. So I don't know why that was taken out, but well, probably because it's illegal. But that used to be the 13th step. That would do it, wouldn't it? Being illegal.
Yeah, that answers your question. Yeah. I don't know why it was taken. Oh yeah, it's illegal.
So there's so much history of them using it to cure alcoholism. But other than that, they also just gave it to artists. When I say just gave it to artists, they gave it to artists and then tracked them to see if they were more creative.
And were they?
Yeah. I mean,
how do you measure creativity though?
Have you seen the Beatles after they took acid?
I don't know when they took it.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Right.
Which is...
That's a crazy album.
The craziest album. Yeah. I was genuinely completely unrelated to this. I was... Noah was playing it the other day. So it's just been playing on repeat for the past few days. And it's batshit.
I feel like this episode is is far too positive about LSD. Give us some negatives.
Just what the doctor ordered.
It induces psychosis. Right, there you go. That's what it is.
Yeah, no, it induces psychosis. Simulates and psychosis. It's illegal.
Induces psychosis is unfair. It simulates psychosis.
Yes, it's acute. It induces acute psychosis.
But it doesn't permanently create psychosis, does it?
Yeah, so it's acute.
I don't know what that means. That's a triangle to me. Like, it's an angle.
You've got acute and chronic. Acute means just in one instance.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
For a short period. Oh,
cool. That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. I forgot the other word.
Obtuse. Obtuse.
Chronic juice. You are obtuse.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's illegal, and it can actually make you go nuts as well. So if you take psychedelics and you've got a certain gene, it can actually induce schizophrenia or psychosis.
Oh, lovely.
That's prolonged, not good.
Prolonged use as well.
Not good.
Prolonged use can actually mean that you have chronic psychosis.
Oh.
Which isn't ideal.
There we go. That's what I needed.
That's the reason not to take it.
That's the negative.
It's the only
you.
Thing stopping it. So between 1957 and 58, they treated 22 patients who suffered from minor personality disorders. And generally, they showed improvement with those. So it did work in that case. Bear in mind, however, that this is under a very controlled setting. Mm. You can't just take LSD and feel better. It's a case of they took it, they then gave them psychotherapy. So they were talking to actual psychologists. Mm. From the late 40s through to the mid-70s, there was extensive testing, and over 40,000 patients were studied on.
And what for studied for what?
This is
oh,
just,
lots of
this
things.
Is overall. So 40,000 people.
Yeah. That's mad, because you can't study on it at all now, because it's a class 1 drug, and you can't test on anything class 1, can you? Or class A.
No, you could still use it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, they're using it, I mean, in the same sense that they still use opiates.
But they're not class A's, are they?
Are they not?
No, because class A is a class of drugs where it has no medical benefit. Like, it has no discovered medical benefit, and so it's like, there's absolutely no excuse to ever have this. And
right,
then B's and C's are like, these aren't good. Sure, they have some medical benefits, but they're still controlled heavily.
Yeah.
So like, that was the big thing about them classifying cannabis differently, was because it was found to have some medical benefits in some situations, so it had to be reclassified.
Well, I mean, so cocaine is a class A.
Yeah.
And that was used in medicine as a...
Ah.
As a...
Well, maybe I'm entirely wrong.
A local anesthetic.
But is it still?
God, no.
Right, well then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean...
Like, that's... Like, I don't think... I think you probably find that heroin's not a class A, because that's used still routinely.
Yeah. I think... I mean, they've been using them scientifically. So, you can still study on them.
Mm.
Interesting. Okay.
However, they're not commonly used medicinally. So, other uses that they've got for LSD are recreational, obviously. And...
Banter.
I'm going to do this in another episode,
most importantly.
Have you guys... Like, MK Ultra?
Yes.
I've heard of this.
Yes.
So for anyone that doesn't know what it is, basically...
I was wondering if you're going to bring this up.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into it because I definitely want to do a future episode on it, but...
It's a bit Alex Jonesy.
Mm. So the American government, I think the CIA, decided we can use this for mind control.
Yeah.
And for over 20 years, tried to use LSD mind control.
I read somewhere about MK Ultra, so I guess this, that they once put, I think, LSD into the water supply of a French village, and everyone went mental and started killing each other.
I've heard...
A whole village. They just, like... I mean, I see if that's true.
I've heard they put it in water supplies. I didn't know that.
You know what?
I didn't know that a French town then killed each other.
Here we go. French bread spiked with LSD in CIA experiment.
French bread?
In 1951, a quiet, picturesque village in southern France was suddenly and mysteriously struck down with mass insanity and hallucinations. 5 people died, dozens were interned into asylums, and hundreds were afflicted. Wow, wow, wow. That's
awful.
One man tried to drown himself, screaming that his belly was being eaten by snakes. An 11-year-old tried to strangle his grandmother. Another man shouted, "I am a plane," before jumping out of a second-floor window and breaking his legs. He got up and carried on for 50 more yards. Another saw his heart escaping through his feet and begged a doctor to put it back. Wow. The CIA are so messy. What the hell?
So, shall we get on to the story of today?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's been 45 minutes.
Maybe you should start with the story, Corey.
So I'm going to talk about the initial synthesis of it first. So Albert Hofmann was working in Basel in Switzerland. So probably not Basel Brush.
Basel.
Was there a brush in Basel? Basel Brush. That's the Basel Brush.
Moving on. He was at Sandoz Laboratories and he was studying squill, which is a
squill?
Actually called squill, which is a medicinal plant, and ergot, which is a poisonous fungus. And he was looking for possible pharmaceutical uses that could be derived from these plants and fungi. So in 1938, he was looking into derivatives of lysergic acid, and he first synthesized LSD on November 16th. He was like, this is pointless. There's nothing good with this. He just left it for literally five years. So this is what the Swiss were up to during World War II. Bear in mind, this is 1938. Wait, it's 1939 it started, isn't it?
1939.
So this is what they were up to in World War II. Because 5 years later, he came back to it.
Was it the same batch, or did he just remake it?
No, so this is the
same. I'm just leaving the same batch in your cupboard for 5 years.
Exactly, because he had to resynthesize it. He wanted to look into it further. And he must have accidentally absorbed some through his skin.
Wow.
Yeah, oh my God.
While he was synthesizing it. So bear in mind, tiny amount, and he was high essentially for 2 hours.
Okay.
But this is absorbing it through his skin,
like a minuscule
minuscule amount. And in his words, he was affected by a remarkable restlessness combined with a slight dizziness. At home, he lay down and sank into a not unpleasant, intoxicated-like condition characterized by an extremely stimulated imagination. He was tripping balls.
So, in summary, I was tripping balls.
And I just want to point out again, this is World War II. The rest of Europe was fighting either with or against Nazis.
Good old Albert's tripping balls.
Yeah, the Swiss were just making LSD and tripping. So on April 19th, which was 3 days after that synthesis and his first accidental trip, he decided, I'm going to try this. But for reals this time.
For reals.
For yeah. reals.
So he wanted to figure out the effect of it. So he took 0.25 milligrams, which is 250 micrograms.
Right.
A microgram is a millionth of a gram.
So that's 1,000 times less than that elephant took.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so he estimated that that was the threshold of the dose, like the threshold dose, which is the minimum amount you need to have an effect. The threshold dose for LSD is actually 20 micrograms.
So he took, what? What's that? 12.5 times more?
Yeah, he was off by an entire order of magnitude.
Right.
Just to put it in perspective, cocaine, the threshold dose is 5 to 10 milligrams. For marijuana, it's 1 to 2.5 milligrams. And for alcohol, it's 8 grams. So you need very little LSD.
Tiny amounts.
To have it affect you. So he was dealing with it like it could be a deadly poison. Because, well...
It could have been for all he knew.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, the substance that he took it from was poisonous.
A poisonous thing.
Exactly.
Rye.
So he took what he thought was a tiny little dose and he planned to increase it each time.
He planned to. Did he follow through with that plan?
Fuck.
40 minutes after he initially took it, He wrote
was dead.
One entry. No, he
and
wrote
also an elephant.
So he planned to make a diary entry about this and record his thoughts. So he made one diary entry after 40 minutes, which was beginning dizziness, feeling of anxiety, visual distortions, symptoms of paralysis, desire to laugh. That was it.
Was that his only entry?
He couldn't write anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so he basically said that for those last words he wrote, it took everything in him to actually write it down. So at that point he asked his lab assistant, Otto Mann, to escort him home.
Otto Mann.
Otto Mann. What a shit superhero name.
So he asked his lab assistant, Otto Mann, to take him home, which wasn't quite easy because it was during the war. There weren't any cars. They had to ride a bike.
Right.
So there's two men riding a bike home. One of them...
Was that a tandem?
two men riding two bikes
home. Okay, sure.
Each riding a bike.
How are you taking him home then?
Escorting him home.
On his bike.
Oh, okay.
Wait, he was riding a bike?
Yes, he was riding his own
LSD.
Bike.
On LSD? On on a lot of LSD as well.
He couldn't write.
Imagine like, mind riding along and like the bike just melting away.
Fuck.
So this, bear in mind that this is the first bicycle trip in history,
and the first trip in history.
Well, exactly. I'm going to give you another quote because honestly, there's not much I can say that's better than some of these quotes. He said, "Everything in my field of vision wavered and was distorted as if seen through a curved mirror. I also had the sensation of being unable to move from the spot. Nevertheless, my assistant later told me that we travelled very rapidly. Finally, we arrived home safe and sound." So this guy was like, "I'm not moving at all." Like, while cycling as fast as he could.
This is what you were talking about the day when you were describing walking on the road.
Yes.
And you just imagine it's like a treadmill and the world moves.
Yeah,
but you feel like you're not going
on the last episode. Yeah. I was like, imagine that you stay still. And then
So he's feeling so ill and anxious because he thought he'd poisoned himself. Bear in mind, we know what LSD is. We know what he was taking.
Yeah.
This guy had no idea. No idea whatsoever. He thought he'd poisoned himself. So he got his assistant to call the doctor to come around. And the doctor was like, "I can find literally nothing physically wrong with you. Your eyes are just a bit dilated." So he couldn't give him anything.
Wow, so there was no physical manifestation in the body of, like, unwellness.
No.
Wow, okay.
I mean, like you can be sweaty, as I've said.
Ooh, no.
You can have an increased body temperature.
We're losing him.
But not like a fever, just slightly warmer.
Wow, okay.
So his pupils were dilated. The doctor was like, "I have no idea what to do. I'm leaving." So his neighbour came round with some milk for him.
Of course.
Yep. He thought she was a witch.
So he said, "Get your potion away from me, witch."
The lady next door, whom I scarcely recognised, brought me milk. In the course of the evening, I drank more than 2 litres. She was no longer Mrs. R, but rather a malevolent, insidious witch with a coloured mask.
Wait, he thought she was a malevolent, insidious witch, but he drank all of her milk.
But
nectar of the witch.
2 litres of milk, that's 4 pints.
Wow.
That's a lot of milk to drink.
I used to drink that much milk when I was...
Yeah, probably.
The drug was then tested on animals, because he'd come out of his trip.
Actually,
he'd realised he was fine.
He is an animal, technically.
Yes, other animals.
Yes. Just saying.
So, lesser beings.
He'd come out of his trip. He was fine. He'd somehow gotten home. And he went to the lab the next day. And he was like, "Okay, we need to actually test this and see if it's toxic." So they tested it on animals, obviously. And I've got some descriptions of what happens to animals on LSD.
Go ahead.
So the mice moved erratically and showed alterations in licking behavior.
That's adorable.
Which means that someone had to study how mouses
normally
mouses
lick. Know how mice lick. You have to know how they normally lick.
Hey, that mouse is licking. Like, what? Who does that?
Bro, your tongue's gone weird.
Cat's hair stood on end and they salivated, which means that they were having hallucinations about stuff that was either terrifying or enticing.
Or delicious.
Very delicious. Yeah.
Delicious cheese.
So they thought, okay, we've got the mice on LSD and the cats on LSD. Why don't we put them together and see what happens?
Right.
So usually when you put a cat and a mouse together, the cat kills the mouse.
Yeah.
In this case, the cats ignored the mice.
Oh,
that's cute.
I was expecting them to cuddle, but ignoring is still better than killing.
That's and one step closer.
Sometimes they were also frightened by the mice. So you got to think what's going on in this cat's head. I've got no idea what's happening. So they also gave it to chimpanzees, which didn't show any obvious signs of being affected by it. However, the other chimps would get really mad at them. Because
they're not high ones.
They're not high ones. And right. The researchers...
Why are they putting not high chimps and high chimps together?
For banter, isn't it?
For banter.
I mean, I want to believe that all of these things are very scientifically controlled. But given the fact that they were taking it home and testing on themselves, I want to say, I just think they were just throwing in shit at the wall and seeing what stuck.
Yeah.
Basically, the reason that the other chimpanzees got really annoyed at the high chimpanzees is that they weren't following social conventions that only the chimps could see.
Right.
So chimps have obviously got a very complex social structure. And these ones were obviously, like, tripping.
Right.
Balls.
Right. Wow.
And the other chimps were like, "What are you doing?"
Bruh.
So, I'm not done. They also gave it to fish.
What?
Fucking hell.
Why?
Which swam oddly. And then
again, you have to know how fish swim.
But my favorite one is spiders.
They make weird webs.
So what they did was they gave LSD to spiders.
Aren't they quite minimalist?
How
they
do you feed the spider LSD?
I don't...
Like, it's got such a tiny mouth.
Bro, just put the tab under your tongue.
Put your tab in a jug.
Probably put it in some water.
Wouldn't the spider like wrap the tab up in like in a web and then eat it?
I mean, probably just
inject an insect with LSD and then let the spider eat that.
Yeah, very good. That's probably very good.
So,
or you could just inject the spider.
Yes, that's true.
If you can inject an insect, you can inject the spider.
It just seems like a weird middle step. They're not insects, are they?
What?
Spiders aren't insects.
Arachnids.
No, but insects are smaller than spiders. Shut the fuck up.
So what happened to spiders was that they had really strange web building patterns. They built more intricate webs with a medium dose. And when they increased the dose past that, their webs just basically fell apart. They had no idea what they were doing.
Seeing as that's the only purpose of a spider, that's pretty embarrassing.
So they were, so the lower doses, they were more expertly built. They were very well proportioned, and they were just really bad and rudimental when they increased the dose.
Brilliant.
But I love the idea of putting a spider on LSD, waiting for however long, because it takes about an hour for humans, so it must take at least like a few minutes for spiders, and just waiting for them to start building a web. It's sitting and see what happens.
Imagine if the spider just like spelled out "fuck you."
I'm tripping.
That's the real story behind Charlotte's Web.
Play Tame Impala.
I can assure you that none of the animals in these tests seemed to be harmed.
Other than the elephant that died.
After the LSD, it wasn't in these tests though.
Okay. And all the spiders that fell off their webs.
Yeah, so this is actually quite good. They just gave them the trip of a lifetime.
I wonder what when the chimps went back to being not high, and then they went back to their friends. Like, what were they? Like,
why is everyone mad?
Do you think they come back with like a guys, higher consciousness? You guys,
they were the douchebags.
Listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. So yeah, basically, none of the animals were harmed because the dose for a psychotic effect is so low, and the dangerous dose is so high. There's a massive margin of safety, at least for the animals. And Hoffman, who was performing most of these experiments, didn't see the drug being used recreationally. He saw it as a powerful psychiatric tool.
Yeah.
Because he went in his trip and he was like, this is awful and intense. No one is going to do it for fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was completely wrong.
Sure.
Because so many people have done it since then. But that's the story of LSD was invented.
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Completely by accident, and then it just took off.
Yeah.
What have you guys learned today?
I've learned that tripping spiders make shit webs.
That fall apart. After a certain threshold. What have I learned?
What have you learned,
James?
I've
learned about LSD. That's what
have
I've
you?
Learned about.
I've learned that drugs are bad.
So have I.
That's
isn't that the message?
If I've taken one thing away from this podcast, it's that you should never do drugs.
And that has been about an hour, so you guys should start to feel the LSD that I actually did put in your drink.
Bloody hell.
I've got to drive home, Corey. I haven't got my bicycle with me.
I'll call Otto Man.
Yeah, please do.
Thanks for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? Find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth, everywhere.
I mean, who even are we?
You know what, man? I don't think Luke Cutforth exists. I think he's a construct.
I just think he's a concept.
He's a character I made up.
I think we're all one, guys.
We are all one.
We all are all. We're Luke Cutforth. We're all Luke
Are you
Cutforth.
All me? You are all me. I did suspect that you might all be me.
Do you know what?
Goodbye.
I am the walrus.
James doesn't get to plug his Twitter. He screwed it up. Goodbye.
Goodbye.